Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Text 22, Canto 4, Chapter 21. This is the second verse of Prithu's instructions to his citizens. Aham dandadaro raja.
Aham dandadaro raja.
Prajanam iha yojitaha.
Prajanam iha yojitaha.
Rakshita vrittida svesu.
Rakshita vrittida svesu.
Setushu stapita pratak. Aham dandadharo raja.
Aham dandadharo raja.
Prajanam iha yojitaha.
Prajanam iha yojitaha.
Rakshita vrittida svesho.
Rakshita vrittida svesho.
Setushu stapita pratak.
Setushu stapita pratak.
Aham. I, Danda Dharaha, carrier of the scepter, Raja, king, Prajanam, of the citizens, Iha, in this world, Yojitaha, engaged, Rakshita, protector, Vrittidha, employer, Sveshu, in their own, Setushu, respective social orders, Stapita, established, Prithak, differently. Translation, King Prithu continued, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, I have been appointed the king of this planet, and I carry the scepter in order to rule the citizens, protect them from all danger, and give them employment according to their respective positions in the social order established by Vedic injunction. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A king is supposed to be appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to look after the interests of his particular planet. On every planet, there is a predominating person, just as now we see that in every country there is a president. If one is president or king, it should be understood that the opportunity has been given to him by the Supreme Lord. According to the Vedic system, the king is considered a representative of Godhead and is offered respects by the citizens as God in human form of life. Actually, according to Vedic information, the Supreme Lord maintains all living entities and especially human beings to elevate them to the highest perfection. After many, many births in lower species, when a living entity evolves to the human form of life, and in particular to the civilized human form of life, his society must be divided into four gradations as ordered by the Supreme Personality Godhead in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnya Maya Shrishtam, etc. The four social orders, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudras, are natural divisions of human society, and as declared by Prithu Maharaj, every man in his respective social order must have proper employment for his livelihood. It is the duty of the king or the government to ensure that the people observe the social order and that they are also employed in their respective occupational duties. In modern times, since the protection of the government or the king has been withdrawn, social order has practically collapsed. No one knows who is a Brahmana, who is a Kshatriya, who is a Vaishya, who is a Shudra, and people claim to be a particular social order by birthright only. It is the duty of the government to reestablish social order in terms of occupational duties and the modes of material nature, for that will make the entire world population actually civilized. If it does not observe the institutional functions of the four social orders, human society is no better than animal society, in which there is never tranquility, peace, and prosperity, but only chaos and confusion. Maharaj Prithu, as an ideal king, strictly observed the maintenance of the Vedic social order. Paragraph. Not here. Prajayate iti praja. That's the sentence. The word praja is a definition of what praja is. Praja refers to one who has taken birth. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj guaranteed protection for prajanam, all living entities who took birth in his kingdom. Praja refers not only to human beings, but also to animals, trees, and every other living entity. It is the duty of the king to give all living entities protection and food. The fools and rascals of modern society have no knowledge of the extent of the responsibility of the government. Animals are also citizens of the land in which they happen to be born, and they also have the right to continue their existence at the cost of the Supreme Lord. The disturbance of the animal population by wholesale slaughter produces a catastrophic future reaction for the butcher, his land, and his government. Aham dandadaro raja prajanam iha yojitaha rakshita ritida sveshu setushu stapita pratak. King Prithu continued, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, I have been appointed the king of this planet, and I carry the scepter to rule the citizens, protect them from all danger, and give them employment according to their respective positions in the social order established by Vedic injunction. So yesterday, or the first verse, the first address to the citizens and the assembled people was offering them respect and offering their blessings, and then putting forward his conclusions after Jigyasubir, after his inquisitive spirit searching through the Vedas and under the guidance of the Brahmanas had reached the following conclusions, and he's looking for validation or verification from them. Have I understood correctly? So now he's stating his understanding. And his understanding is several things. He has received this position by the grace of the Supreme Lord. And we'll just start with that one. By the grace of the Supreme Lord, we can say that's true for not only kings, it's true for anybody. The sweeper in the street, or the whatever the occupation that someone may have, is a God-given ability, talent, skill, whatever it is that one has, it's a gift from the Supreme Lord. And so the king here, Prithu Maharaj, is stating the king is received his position under the authority and by the grace, that's the translation used here, by the grace of the Supreme Lord. He's saying specifically he's been appointed. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada is making a distinction. Presidents aren't appointed by the Supreme Lord. In fact, commonly, kings are not literally appointed. Like, the Supreme Lord descends and says, okay, you should be the king, I appoint you. So that's not the indication. The indication is that without that grace of the Supreme Lord, one doesn't have any position. Conversely, if one has any position, such a person is answerable to the Supreme Lord. To act as representatives of the Supreme Lord, not independently. And that person who has been, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, given that service is to be regarded that way. That's when things are in proper order. And in this case, they're in proper order. He, Prithu, is acknowledging, I have no independence. I'm not powerful on my own and deciding things on my own and doing things on my own. Independence is not part of the program of a qualified king. He's dependent upon the will of the Supreme Lord. As the service itself, so also the execution. It's in the mood of the servant. But it works the other way too, which is the citizens are to understand, whoa, here this person is appointed by the Supreme Lord. It's something like a nice scriptural example from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And two actually. One is Sanatan Goswami, when Nawab Hussein Shah approached Sanatan Goswami when he wasn't coming to do his government service, and because he was, you know, he was smart, he could understand this is an indication of that. So he, you know, you're not coming to report for your government service saying that you're sick. The royal physician says you're not sick, and I come here and I see you're very active, you're not sick. So his direct question is, what is your intention? Tell me. And Sanatan Goswami stated, I can no longer continue in this government service. You're the representative of God as the king. He's a Muslim mean guy. I mean, not just because he's Muslim, because he's a mean guy. And you're the representative of God, so as you see fit, you punish me. If you see that I've done wrong, as you decide, because that's your position. You're the representative of God. And right away, the Nawab didn't mess around. He decided he was planning to be able to go off and take his armies and conquer more territory, but he would have to stay if Sanatan Goswami isn't doing his job. So he then, on the spot, made a decision, I won't take my armies to go conquer more territory, I'll rule and you're in jail. So rather than, like, he could have done anything because he's that kind of a guy, I could kill him or whatever, but he was hoping that Sanatan Goswami would, you know, come around and do his service again. So he had him put in prison. And another example is Haridas Thakur, when the Qazi in Puliya similarly brought Haridas Thakur before him and requested or commanded him to give up his practice of chanting and just take his tradition from his birth, being a nice Muslim and doing nice Muslim things instead of this chanting thing. And Haridas said to the Kazi, if you think that this is wrong what I'm doing, then one might say, then a Hindu becoming a Muslim might be wrong. So how you would punish a Hindu becomes a Muslim would be appropriate punishment for me, a Muslim who has become a Hindu. It didn't exactly say like that, but that's the implication. And so you punish me accordingly. You're the representative of God. It's your power. It's your authority. And I'll accept. You just exercise your authority. So these are Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur, obviously are not ordinary persons. But the individuals who they were addressing, one in case as a king, another was Kazi, a magistrate, a ruler, under a king, accepted them as representatives of God. Now, obviously, that wasn't their program. Their program was their own program. But as exalted Vaishnavas, that's how they address themselves to the king and to the Kazi. And Mahaprabhu, and similarly in Puri, when King Pratapa Rudra, or actually it was the son, Purushottam Jena, the son of the king Pratapa Rudra, had a plan to punish Gopinath Patanayak. And Mahaprabhu, you know, similarly said, he's the king, he's the representative of God. It's his, he has that authority. He can punish as he sees as fit. Besides, Gopinath deserves to be punished, what he's done. Taking the money of the king as a tax collector and squandered it on dancing girls, what he said. So he deserves to be punished, and it's up to the king to decide. Don't come to me with this. He's the king. That's Vedic culture. So the citizens should regard the king that way, and the king should behave that way. It's like anything. You know, a Brahmana is supposed to be like this, and citizens are supposed to regard the Brahmana according to their position. The difficulty is, in Kali Yuga, nobody knows what their position is, and people that are not, that's the next part, people that are not qualified assume the position. And one of the anomalies in the age of Kali is simply by birth one assumes a position. The law of progenitor, where you're the praja, and so you inherit, you know, the position of your father, whether you're qualified or not. Supposing someone is the son of a surgeon, and so they speak to someone and say, my father's a surgeon, I'm ready to perform an operation, are you ready? Well, then you have the certification, do you have the qualification? Well, no, I just am the son of a surgeon. Well, lie down, we'll take care of you. That's not, even when someone is born of a Brahmana father, the son must undergo education and purification and sangskaras, like the anaprashna sangskara that we performed the other day. It's one of the necessary, especially for Brahmana and Kshatriya families, individuals, the proper sangskaras. It's necessary. That's in the culture where there isn't transcendental life. It's absolutely necessary. And anyway, so the difficulty is neither are the leaders qualified kshatriyas nor the citizens respecting them as representatives of God. So it's topsy-turvy and chaotic. So that's the first part in the verse. Prithu Maharaj saying that I've received this position by the grace of God. That means I'm subservient to them, to him. And it, the implication also is the citizens are to see him in that way, God's representative, and as the representative of someone is to be treated like the someone, the king is to be treated like God. Not that he's God, he's to be treated with that kind of respect and regard, and the king is supposed to behave like the representative of God is to behave. So when that the system of kings became deviated and deviated and deviated and distorted beyond recognition, the whole idea of rule by kings was thrown out in favor of democracy, rule by vote. But it's the same problem. If you don't have a qualified king or you don't have a qualified person to vote on, you have the same chaos. In any case, both must be qualified, the followers as well as the leader. And then, in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that as the king is the representative of God, what's God's function? He refers to nityo, without quoting the verse, nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yo vididati kaman. Eka, one, is the maintainer of all. Krishna, or the Supreme Lord, maintains all living entities. So what's the king's responsibility, representative of the king? To maintain living entities. And the maintenance of those living entities has a purpose. Not just give them some food and pat them on the back, but to lead them, to elevate them to the highest perfection. Directly he states in the purport. Maintain with necessity so that one has the strength, the capacity, the ability, the direction to achieve spiritual highest perfection. Don't forget that one, our dear kings and presidents, or leaders of any sort. It's like that section of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, where Arjuna asks, what happens to the person who doesn't complete their path of spiritual perfection? They left their worldly life and they didn't quite make it in their spiritual life, so are they not nowhere? They're neither here nor there. They're lost. And Krishna, of course, says no. Spiritual progress is never lost. There's no diminution. And in their next life, if they haven't complete, there's some options. One, go to the heavenly planets and enjoy for a very long time. And then come to this position again and take birth in a brahmana family or a aristocratic family. Or even better is, don't go to the heavenly planets, just take birth in a devotee family and continue and reach perfection. So, in discussing those verses, the question sometimes comes up, hey, that's not fair. How come somebody gets to be born in the aristocratic family and someone else is born in a poor family? So, that's the complaint. But having that facility is not... The proper purpose of it is that one doesn't have to struggle for necessities. Necessities are there, like is described here, so that one can then strive for spiritual perfection. Now, one may not strive for spiritual perfection, just be the enjoyer of the facilities of one's past pious activities. That can also happen. But the facility is the result of past virtue now being reciprocated with for the ultimate purpose. So kings, or those who are giving leadership to anybody in any category, are to be mindful that their duty is those who are dependent upon them, not just to take care of their necessities, but to guide them towards to elevate them to the highest perfection. No small matter, but that's the job description of having persons who are looking to you as a dependent looks to one who they're dependent upon. It's outlining, you know, the relationships of citizens and kings, or those who are in a accepting of dependence position, and the regard the dependents should have unto those who are extending themselves to help them. And then the major part of the purport is a theme that Prabhupada spoke upon many, many, many times. That is, the duty of the king to maintain people includes seeing that they have a suitable occupation according to their nature. And from the Vedic perspective, that's the Varnashram system. As he quotes, Chatur Varna Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. Krishna creates a system. It's his system. So even if people don't acknowledge Krishna, it's there anyways. And the system is there anyways, where they acknowledge the system. According to guna, the modes of nature, and karma, their activity, one has a particular nature. And there are activities, occupational duties suited to that particular guna and karma, or particular nature. And so there's social variety according to guna and karma. And a king is to see that people are performing those duties with the aim of, by so doing, dedicating the fruits of those activities under the Supreme, attain gradually, eventually, the highest stage of perfection. It's all connected. The Varnashram system is not a religion unto itself. It's purposeful for spiritual elevation. Or sometimes Prabhupada would use the term Daivi Varnashram, because there's another kind where people are just the Karmakanda kind, where people are interested not in Daivi, they're interested in material elevation, material satisfaction, gratification. But the Sanatana Dharma or Varnashram Dharma is Daivi Varnashram Dharma. It's meant to progressively move towards the supreme goal of life. And it's part of the duty of a king to see that people are, in the worldly sense, they have something suited to their nature, and they're doing it. Prabhupada was not at all keen on social welfare and all that. Rather, the king should see that people have some service. Just a little comment about China. I don't know if they have a system where the government gives people money to do nothing, but there definitely is a system where the government gives people money to do something. And, you know, whatever that something is, something very simple. Cleaning. There's a lot of people out in the streets of China, and even the countryside, and they're cleaning. They got a broom, and they got their little thing that they roll, you know, put stuff in, and it's clean. And so they have some employment, so they receive something from the government. So as a result, it's clean, and they have some work. Because the other is, the idle mind is the devil's workshop program. And I get some money from the government, now I've got all this time, let me think of how I can get some more. So, you know, crime flourishes in that kind of a setting. Now, if there are circumstances where it simply, literally, cannot take a broom and clean, or whatever, some simple service, that's maybe another thing. Anyway, without all the social and political commentary, a king is to see that people have some suitable service, and that they're engaged according to their nature. one of the things that Prabhupada spoke about to government people was, I remember, I found it fascinating, so I listened to it multiple times. It was in, I believe, Stockholm. Prabhupada was speaking with the Indian ambassador, or ambassador from India to Sweden, and it was a nice conversation. Prabhupada was a little strong. The man was very nice, and he was able to take Prabhupada being a little strong. And Prabhupada was saying, you know, the government should see that all people are doing their service. Oh yes, Swamiji. Then, you know, he went to, they should see that the religious, the brahmanas, are doing their service. Oh, we can't go there. Separation of church and state, Swamiji. And Prabhupada said, it's not that you have to say, you have to be this religion or that religion, but whatever their religion, they should be doing their duty. And if they're not doing their duty, then the government has to, who, if government doesn't do it, who's going to do it? No, Swamiji, we don't, thank you, but we can't do that. You know, we encourage all religions. And you said, you basically, Prabhupada is saying, you missed my point. It's not like get people to do this religion, state religion. It's whatever the religion, according to their tradition, their teachings, do it. And because in Prabhupada was doing the same thing as a preacher. You say you're a Christian, then follow the teachings. Not like give up that one and take this one. Follow the teachings. What? Well, I am. No. Well, what about thou shalt not kill? Is that a teaching? Oh yes, Swamiji. Then why are you killing? I don't kill. Like that. But just holding their feet to the coals. Perform according to your teachings. And if the priestly order is not doing that, how are the people in general going to do that? Of course, it's upside down, and there's more people doing it, probably, than the priestly order doing it. But so now then comes this protection of the prajanam message, which also Prabhupada spoke about many, many, many times. Praja, just like the term prajapati, the fathers of mankind. But it's not just fathers of mankind, fathers of all those who take birth. Praja is offspring. So the offspring for a king is anyone who takes birth in his kingdom. And that's trees and animals and whatever living entities take birth in the king's kingdom, that's his praja, that's his, those who he's to protect. And not exploit this one and favor that one. That's not right. So the kings that don't know what their duties are and just simply whatever, administer blindly or pander to the craving for sense gratification of their public, just kind of regulate it so they don't fight with each other. That's not the duty of a king. It's see the people have that which is going to elevate them towards the personality of Godhead, and that part of that is the resources of nature and the animals and the trees and the whatever. It's not just make forestry preserves and then the rest you can plunder. It's not like that. Of course, people have their different sense of aesthetics. One of the places that I visit is in Portland, and the president of the Portland Temple happens to live in Oswego, same place where Mother Jamuna was born. Yay! And they have a policy in Oswego: if you want to build a house, you have to plan the house around the trees, because you can't cut down trees. Can't cut down trees. It's against the law. If you cut down a tree, you're in jail. You're fined or whatever it is. Can't cut down trees. I mean, I think that's more, they like trees. They like the aesthetics of having a place where there's lots of trees. Not necessarily from the same perspective of Bhagavatam. So maybe accidental or incidental, but a king sees to the well-being of all living entities. Not the gross national product, but the welfare of all living entities. And those that don't suffer. And then the last line in the purport is the disturbance of the animal population by wholesale slaughter produces a catastrophic future reaction for the butcher, the land, and his government. So, I'm sure you've all heard this before, but it's not just the butcher, but, you know, the person who chops, who cuts. It's all the whole chain. Now, there's different degrees of culpability, but they're all culpable. The one who raises the animal and sells the animal, there's six of them. The one who transports that animal. I was traveling once in Guyana, and it was just like, it's in the West, or in America, the first world countries, these things are done, you know, where no one sees them. But this, I was watching, they have this area where lots of animals are grazing very peacefully until it's slaughter time. And then, you know, the men were trying to drag this animal onto a truck. And the animal seemed to know what was going on, and he was screaming and bellowing and resisting and crying and yelling. And, you know, 10 men tried to push the animal onto the truck. And it was heartbreaking to see that. You know, it's culpable. Transporting. And where do they take it? To the butcher, the slaughterhouse. And then so there's the butcher. And then there's the one who cooks. And then there's the one who serves. And then the one who eats. So they're culpable. If anyone in that chain said, no, I'm not going to do it. The devotees in Australia, I've heard it from several of them, they are proud of the fact that Australia and New Zealand in the world are known, like in certain places in South America also, as huge beef eating population. But they attribute, of course, now there's multiple people participating, but the devotees began because of Prabhupada's effort, and many, many, many slaughterhouses in Australia shut down just because people stopped buying. If there's not the buying, then it's not profitable anymore. So the market shrinks and you do less of it. In any case, if the culpability is there, not just for the guy that cuts, the butcher. And then the implication is, it extends further to the land and then to the government. When the citizens do sinful, the government suffers. When the government does sinful, the people suffer. They share, it's the collective karma notion. Not just what you do, but if you're like a nice example of this in Chaitanya Charitamrita is when Ramchandra Khan offended Haridas Thakur, tried to get him by sending prostitute to have him fall down. He offended Haridas Thakur in that way. Later Lord Nityananda came, and he offended Lord Nityananda, and after Lord Nityananda left, the whole village became destroyed by some virulent disease, and the statement is made in the text, not just purport, that the whole area, the whole population became afflicted because of this offense of Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda by their leader, Ramchandra Khan. The whole place got wiped out. So we have a responsibility, not just to ourselves and our own karma and well-being, but others. And I'll just end with this. I shared this, I think, last night. Damodar Pandit is going to get a kick out of this. We have a number of goals for 2014. You know, just before coming here, we were in Houston, and inspired largely by Sheshika Prabhu and of course Suvas, the BBT has set a milestone. More books distributed in 2013 than in any year previous, even during Prabhupada's presence, from the US and Canada. Yay! And the plan, I mean, it's talk at this point, but the plan is in the 50th anniversary year, which is 2016, we're in 2014, to distribute as many books in North America as the whole world did when Prabhupada was present. Hello. Of course, then the whole world will do so much more. And it as an offering to our founder, Acharya. And so, St. Louis Yatra, put your thinking caps on, and how are we going to do our part here? And separately, this didn't come out in the larger gathering with the devotees, but it was a Harivilas special. I shared this last night, but he's based in Seattle, which is the headquarters for Microsoft. So with the Microsoft employees, we gave them a service and they figured it out. In their temple room, they have two screens. They have like a camera that sends onto the two screens in case they have people, and then out where the children are, then another screen so they can, and from wherever you are, you can see what's going on. And you also have webcam that goes, or live broadcast. So he had a Nama Yajna. Let's just see the brilliance of Hari Vilas. And people that aren't sadhakas at all, because there are lots of people that come to the temple in Seattle that are not at all, in any temple, that aren't sadhakas. They just like coming to the temple. And they get a lot of people coming to the temple. So he had a Nama Yajna. And there were people that showed how to use beads, and they gave them beads and said, you chant one round or two round, and just when you give the bead back to the person at the computer, it would show up on the screen how many names were chanted. And, you know, the fruitive orientation is very powerful. They watch the numbers change. When they hand in their beads and it goes into the computer and then there's a number changes. So they had a goal, I forget what the number was, 1 million names or something, whatever the number was. And then, you know, they hit their number. And their people were very enlivened. Fruitive mentality is very inspiring. But, you know, it's the holy name. So then he has an idea for this year, 2014. He's going to do a test run in Seattle and see if they can hit a number, however many Nama Yajnas they need to do to hit a certain number. And then his idea is to move towards the 50th anniversary of the founding of ISKCON so that all throughout the whole country, we all get on board with this nice little program that we can do in our temples, we'll chant as many names in that year as the national deficit for the United States of America. 20 trillion or whatever it is, names. And he feels it will get a lot of interest. With the idea of not like thumbing our nose at the government, but saying, you know, this is a counteraction of that excessive, whatever you want to call it, you know, spirit of indulging, and counteract the pernicious effects of the age of Kali through the chanting of the holy name. It gives a platform for speaking about the glories of the holy name, engaging people in the chanting of the holy name, and lets people be competitive because they like to be competitive. But hearing about the holy name. Brilliant. And we all love the idea. Hari Vilas is a lovable person. Has lots of amazing ideas. And there's 20 more after that one and 100 more after those 20. And he's got lots of ideas. So, end of class. Any discussion? Comments or questions?
Can they be a part of that?
You got his number. Right now, you know, he's inclusive. He's not exclusive. But right now, his idea is, let me, because this is what he said to us at our GBC meeting. Let me just, you know, get the kinks out. Let me roll it out a little bit, test run it a little bit. And then, you know, we can share it amongst each other. Oh. He won't stop. And others that wish to take, he'll probably, if he gets in a request or two or three or ten, he'll figure out a way that others can also do. You know, here's the software, or here's the program, or whatever it is, and you can do it in your place. And, you know, we could figure out a way. Set up a screen that's got a computer hooked up to it, and it's, you know, just, we can do it right in the temple room. Or then, you know, go to home, whatever, you know, we can figure out a way to do it, if we want to do it. And you know how it works. If, you know, somebody's, the lending effect. All the kids are doing it, let me get a hula hoop, you know. I watched how that little thing with scooters, you know, it were never around, and then all of a sudden it's like a fashion. All the kids got to have a scooter. Right? And skateboards. So chanting the holy name. That's a nice fashion. Yeah. Anything? Yes. Yes.
So, Mark, King Prithu, it says in the translation, it says in the translation, it's like, King Prithu has the principle of, says in the slova, to protect the citizen,
yes,
and to employ the citizen of
yes,
social orders.
Yes.
So I was just wondering.
And that's protection.
Yeah.
If you engage properly, is protection.
So the principle is there. So I was just wondering the details of is anywhere here or is there any chapter in the Bhagavatam which talks on how the qualified, the good kings have a monitor system?
Oh, there's tons of it.
Monitoring system, out of the communication.
Tons of it.
It's
do lots of research. I'm not going to do your research for you. You do the research. It's replete within the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? Yes?
Pretty much on this topic of the citizens respecting the king, or dependents respecting the leader as the representative of God, sometimes if being in a leadership position, one recognizes that that's eroded significantly, perhaps, you know, due to mutual issues, and wants to reestablish that.
The best way to reestablish that is to be exemplary. Stand on the ground of truth rather than stand on the ground of rule. I mean, in the verses, this danda dharo. Dhara is the holder of danda. Danda means stick. So, the rod of chastisement. Or, for the king, it's a scepter. But one is not allowed to use the scepter unless one is exemplary. So, that's the first order, is be exemplary. And, you know, it's as we heard in yesterday's verse, even one is exemplary, there'll be enemies. Or, you know, whether it's like a mutual something, that the chemistry doesn't work kind of thing. It's not just a Kali Yuga thing, it's the nature of the complexity of material existence. What one should do is continue to strive to be exemplary. That's what one should do. And then, you know, from there, whatever the next step is depending upon the details. But first and foremost is strive to be exemplary. Have I answered your question?
In some cases also it seems like distance is also required for reestablishing a degree of
sure
respect as opposed to
sure, reality. Sure. that's one of the options of, you know, what happens next after the first one. Anything else? Okay. Yes.
Yesterday class, you mentioned when we are reading the purport 1.5.1 about the Chanakya, when you read the purport, you said this is the statement of Chanakya.
I remember.
So I was just, we do not know about anything about that Chanakya Pandit thing. So
it's just it's paraphrased in the purport, that's all.
No, about him. About
you want to know about his life? Go look it up in Google.
When I was growing, I have heard about his talent in political issues and how he's so good advisor to King and all that. Is that the same Chanakya Pandit that you are referring?
I don't understand your question. Do you understand her question?
Actually,
you want to know who he is? There has lots of information about who he is. There was a king, and he was a brahmana in the kingdom of that king, and he gave advice to the king, and he wrote things about how just practical, you know, worldly stuff of wisdom, and he advised the king accordingly.
He wrote Arthashastra, the book or
something. Yeah, Niti Shastra.
Yeah, maybe Sastra. So he's the same.
That's him, that's the same one.
Oh.
That's your question?
Yeah.
Okay, same one. Okay, thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.